All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast, where it is crypto time. We are excited to be diving in to some exciting new project that we're actually joined by the CEO and the co-founder of Vera, Dennis Lamb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bryce. I'm super stoked to be here today. Let's get started.
Let's go ahead and dive in. Pizza Mind, how are you doing over there? Good sir, my notorious compadre.
I'm really excited. This is one that we've been waiting for quite a while, ever since I ran into Vera over in Miami a couple conferences ago. And to me, they were the big standout amongst all the other projects I saw based off of what they were doing, how they were doing it. And also just a little something in my gut said, you need to pay attention to these guys. So we're going to find out who these guys are right now and what they're up to.
You know, Peace, the first time that I heard about Vera was actually from you. And it was a couple months ago when you were coming back from that conference. And we were both, you know, spitballing ideas of what we thought kind of the future was going. We're like, you know, what are going to be some new trends? And I said, why has nobody married NFTs and DeFi? Why hasn't it happened yet? And you're like, dude, I just met a team that does that. You got to learn about them. And so that's why we brought on Dennis, because they are doing just that. They are taking NFTs, which is, you know, just about the hottest sort of trend in crypto right now. And they're kind of bringing, you know, DeFi and borrow and lend and mortgage capabilities to your NFTs, ways for you to, you know, kind of leverage your NFTs. But anyhow, we're going to hear it from the man himself. But Dennis, does that all sound accurate? Are we going to dive into just that?
No, well, we can, but, you know, to be honest, I think that what we're doing here is 100 times more exciting. And that's why we're here to share all this information with you, your community, and in a way, hopefully that everyday people can understand the value of this, right? I know, you know, the technical stuff, even all the lending and DeFi can get overwhelming for some folks out there. But, you know, I really think what we're working with our ecosystem partner is a holy grail that can really disrupt so many things in the upcoming 10 years for the next trillion-dollar industry.
Wow. I love it. Before we even dive into that, let's take a step back and get ourselves acquainted with who you are. So our audience could know, and we're just curious, like, what were you doing really before you dove in full time to the crypto industry? And what was it about industry that really attracted you to it?
Absolutely. So, you know, for myself, I'm born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area here in the heart of Silicon Valley. You know, I went to Cal. You guys into football and whatnot. We got a pretty popular football team. But, you know, I was an engineer there, right? And what I worked on prior to getting in crypto in 2017 was I was more of a full stack product engineer or product manager, meaning what I do is I'm usually the guy to understand the technical things, but I had to communicate what customers want, what the market and the business side wants to the really smart people who are coding everything, the engineers, right? So I've worked on several startups in the Silicon Valley. The notable one prior to building Vera and Vera Labs was actually a two-sided marketplace similar to Uber, but it was in the telehealth, a mental health field. We basically connected patients to doctors so they can get non-judgmental mental health treatment. And if they need medication, it'll be mailed to their homes, you know, without any judgment. And it's during COVID where everything was kind of shut down, that business really took off. But regardless, even when that company was doing extremely well, I mean, we were approaching like 100 million in valuation. So things were growing. Personally, myself, I've been just still so much more excited about crypto and NFT and DeFi, where I left that company to basically start Vera. Does it make sense? So that's kind of my background. And why is that? A lot of people ask. Well, I got started in 2017 in crypto as an enthusiast, just like many of us who are newer in crypto. I went to many events. We didn't have Miamis back then, so, you know, it wasn't actually literally small meetups here and there talking to intelligent people what the future is going to be like. And I began also angel investing into many different early stage projects with friends, you know, just like how a lot of our friends now are like, investing into, say, NFTs, right? But back then they were more ICOs, they're different projects, and just building that, that those contacts and connections. We ended up, I met my co-founder at that time, who's now one of my best friends, Michael Arbach. We together basically started a consulting firm, and we ended up getting a lot of projects to work with big companies related to blockchain. So for instance, we got the chance to build blockchain and consult for companies like NASA, for like Northern Trust is like the number four bank in the world with 60 trillion assets. Bitrail, Kodak, like there's all these early projects we work with. But when NFT became super hot in more like 2020, around that time, we got the opportunity to build NFT projects with, let's say, Anthony Hopkins as the first Hollywood movie NFT, right? So we start seeing trends in that, right? We worked with projects related to Dapper Labs. You know, back then they were doing Top Shop, and then a lot of people want to do things related to that in the sports field. We did NFTs for like auction houses for collectible cars. So you name it, right? Celebrities, there's a lot of different prices. So we saw the trends of how NFTs getting hotter and hotter before 2021 came. And we're like, okay, NFTs could be the future, but the way their transactions are done between business parties and people is still so Web 2, so old school, right? I'll give you an example. Like, sure, you are an actor. You just, you want to sell NFTs, but you're treating it like a merch, right? So, okay, I got 1,000 NFTs. They're movies. But you know what? I need to work with third-party promoters and marketing agencies help me promote and sell my movie. But I don't trust them, right? They could be from China, from India, from Russia, or someone else. Doesn't matter who they are. I don't know. So then you still have to go back to do all the legal paperwork and try to figure out who to trust to partner with in your movie deal, right? Even though you're dealing with NFTs. Wouldn't life be a lot easier if whoever says that they believe in your movie or your NFT project, they just put money where their mouth is, say, hey, I'm going to put down this collateral. And then I'm going to say, hey, here's my NFTs, my merch, my movies. Go do what you want to do with it. I'll give you 6 months. If you sell it, you collect whatever you need to do. If you can't sell it, just return it back to me. Give me my goods back. I'm going to give you your collateral back. It's just that simple. And there's no funny business, no need to worry about who trusts who, right? Just like Bitcoin, we can transact money without having to trust a bank or a middleman, right? So, well, guess what? That's not possible. And that's why, that's just one of so many examples of why there's so many inefficiencies at the early stages of NFTs that inspired us. You know what? We could actually solve this problem. We just need to build the framework to let anybody be able to do business with NFTs without needing to trust both parties, just like what Bitcoin did for money, right? So that's kind of a premise of how Vera started.
And it's an amazing premise, because if you think of the metaverses and several metaverses where you have to design your own house or your own room or your own world, the average person can't do that. So maybe you're going to hire a designer or a programmer to come in and build it for you, but you don't want to give them the private keys to your Solana wallet or your MetaMask. Yes. Rather, instead, you just put that NFT on the platform, you lend it to them during the course of their work, and then you've still fully retained ownership of it. So it's an amazing thing that you guys are building.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're mentioning is precisely some of the use case for that we have founders building now on top of our protocol, right? So like we have a DAO of, let's say, 100 different architects, really smart people. They built these 3D models and houses you're talking about. And also we work with game developers like Sandbox, for example. It's one of the hottest metaverses or Web3 metaverses out there. Well, apparently, even if you build some game or do some design a house on top of it, you have to own a piece of land. You actually have to own a sandbox metaverse land in order to deploy and publish it on. So if you don't have one, well, you have to buy one. But then you don't know if your house will be useful or people want it or your game you're building has demand. So why do I want to invest over $100,000 in some metaverse land just to test out my metaverse app in a sense, right? Might as well rent a piece of land, try it out. If it works, then I'll go buy one, right? Or some people that are just 3D modelers or developers, they're not in the metaverse commercial real estate business. They just want to build stuff like what you mentioned. So they want to be able to not necessarily only sell, but rent their stuff to people who actually own metaverse things and want to develop on it. also fashion, same thing. So apparently there's like Paris Fashion Week going on right now in Europe and Milan. Well, there's groups of people trying to replicate Fashion Week in Decentraland, for example. And they want to work with real brands, like luxury brands, and be able to, hey, can I get these IP and clothing designs? Can I rent it out into characters to wear it for just for this Fashion Week on the metaverse? So all of these things is what the future is about when it comes down to having these mechanics to enable businesses and revenue streams that is just not possible today with NFTs.
Wow. I love it. There's just so many, you know, like you just described, exciting use cases across industries. What would you kind of say has been the most exciting project or application that you've seen developed to date? Is there anything that you'd like to, you know, kind of expand upon?
Well, you mean with regards to being built on top of Vera or what? Yep. Vera is involved with?
Yep, that Vera is involved with.
Hmm. Well, I mean, we identified some of the key areas where, you know, we have a lot of exciting product developments. And one of them is events and ticketing, right? Nice. We touch on metaverse and gaming. I'll get that in a second, a little bit more. But like, for example, there's just so much NFTs right now, but there's no real utility in it, right? And so I guess I'll take a step back. Look, the reason why NFTs in the first place has value is because of three pillars. Number one, it is because it has a story behind it potentially, right? So people can relate to it. Number two, it has what I call collectability. You want to collect them all, right? So think of it this way. Punks, one of the first NFT, had some story behind it. They all have this theme. And then you can collect them, right? And the third pillar, which punks didn't really have, but things like Axie and Apes are now working on, is usability, right? So you can actually use it for other things, right? Like whether you use it to play a game, use it to go to a yacht party, which the punks did, you know, in Miami, to, hey, you got to have an ape in order to go on this boat party, right? Or a concert or an event. So these are three things, right? Because the association allows the public, allows users to basically buy in, right? Collectability gives it resale value. And the third thing, usability, is what gives it engagement. Even after people buy it, they continue going back to it, right? Well, the problem with these three areas are, the first one, you have to right now, to buy in, you have to pay full price. They can't try the experience. They really just have to buy full price, right? Vera solves it by allowing you to not pay full price, right? Financing, or rent it if you can't afford it. That allows, so opens up so much more market for new people to try a new brand, a new experience. In terms of the second pillar, in terms of resale value and collectability, right now, collectability and floor prices is largely depend on FOMO, right? How big the community is, how much they're FOMOing, how many other whales are parking their money in it. Is Aoki doing it too? That kind of thing. But what Vera does is shifts it away from just FOMO alone to more of usability, utility. And if you can actually generate recurring income with any asset like an NFT, it actually has a base value. So it's not just speculative, right? Like, you actually have a value, and people who don't care about the story may even want to buy it as an investment. And number three is usability. Right now, usability for most NFTs is really none or super basic. Or if it needs to be, has some usability, it's all manually done, right? Because it's not like automated by smart contract. It's all manual usability. Vera solves that by making it automatic, trustworthy, and more importantly, you can have as many complex usability mechanics you want, but if you're not using that NFT, it's not collecting dust in your wallets. You're actually making money with it because you can rent it out. Imagine buying season tickets or having those Coachella tickets, which they just talked about having NFT, but you can't go to this year's Coachella. Well, it's collecting dust. Imagine you can rent it out to the secondary market, right? You make money, and whoever's behind it might also get royalties. Like, this is amazing, right? That's the future. So events and ticketing, very exciting, because we believe NFT is going to totally disrupt events and ticketing. It's just a matter of time. A lot of players are working on it. And where Vera comes in is all these players can try to hunt down brands and make ticketing applications with their IP. But if they really want secondary market sales, like, hey, I already have this NFT, it can serve as a ticket, but if I'm not using it, I want to rent it out or whatnot, we're the only solution in town that makes that possible right now. So all of these guys doing primary market ticketing, if they want secondary market ticketing revenue streams on teams, we're the go-to solution right now. Okay, that's number one. In terms of metaverses and gaming, well, we talked a little bit about commercial real estate in the metaverses, so I won't touch about that. But the exciting thing to me also is GuildFi and GameFi, right? Like, you know, there's an explosion of games right now, especially, you know, during COVID, a lot of people aren't making the money they want in developing countries or third world countries are suffering. So, hey, if I'm making 150 bucks a month, I would love to double that to 300 bucks a month. And GameFi and these guys are actually doing that, right? But here's the thing. The guilds right now are doing all of these completely manually. People can potentially be scammed, right? You don't like you people are letting people borrow game assets like completely by trust, right? So that reminds me of all these Web2 game. I'm a gamer, by the way, but that's another story. I used to play games from Magic the Gathering up to now, so I'm a pretty big nerd, all right, when it comes to gaming. But like, I still remember I have some of these really expensive Magic cards, but my friend needs it for a deck to play this killer deck. So I had to let them borrow. It's like $100 a card, right? And I still haven't gotten it back to this far. So you know what?
That's terrible.
That's terrible, right? Actually, that $100 is now probably $400 a piece. So like, imagine a Black Lotus, right? It's like a $500,000 card. Like, hey, I don't get that back, right? So NFTs, that will never happen. It ensures both sides are safe. There's protection.
Unless you give away your seed phrase in a Discord chat.
Exactly, which we don't have to do it here. And I think that's the future, right? And people can be empowered, do play to earn or whatever. They like to play for fun as well, but then it's safe on both sides. And I don't like to ever have to do these things manually. And I'll say that, We're right now, I mean, there's so many things I can't mention all the details to NDAs, but like, look, like esports, right? NFT esports are coming. All right. Like, one of the things we're talking towards the end of this year is we're going to work with some of these games. We got, you're not talking about random dev shops making games now. You're talking about real gaming people and the people who've been in the gaming industry, Web2, for like decades. People like LucasArts, people like EA Sports, they're now looking and coming into the space, right? Because they said, I have to be part of it. And we're talking to people like that right now, like end of the year, we can maybe do a esports tournament, right? So imagine you got two teams, red team, blue team, they're fighting each other on stage and they have a vault of all these NFTs they can choose from. So it's a fair playing field. It's all pre-selected to compete. Well, guess where these NFTs come from? Vera will power the NFTs being rented into these vaults to let them borrow it for this 3 days during the gaming tournament, right? And pay yield to whoever owns it. So we can wow, do something like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's just nuts. I mean, the future is, it feels like it's coming quicker and quicker and quicker. This feels like it's literally straight out of a science fiction book.
Well, believe it or not, it's not science fiction, my friend. It's like possible right now to do all these things. It's not the technology that's a blocker. It's the industries and the legal people that needs to catch up and understand what the potential of this technology is now.
Yeah. Wow. Pete, do you have some thoughts here? I mean, this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So I guess here's a naive question for you, Dennis. Does it matter what blockchain these NFT assets are listed on? Or is one just as good as another?
Well, yes and no, right? Like Vera, first of all, can support any blockchain where these NFTs are on, and especially the major ones. Currently, though, we're supporting Ethereum, Polygon, BSC, and soon Solana, which are the four biggest NFT markets right now, adding up to about 20 billion in size, right? There are other NFT blockchains as well. But the market size is just not as big as these four I talked to you about. So think about this way. it's kind of like every blockchain is like a bank, right? And if a lot of customers and users are banking on Bank of America, while currently in the status quo, your money and assets on Bank of America cannot transfer to Chase or Wells Fargo. They're like a different chain, we call it, right? In the future, it's possible or not right now. So the NFT ecosystems or apps built on top of this chain can only work with those specific NFTs, right? That's unfortunately a limitation today. We foresee that will change, but it'll take some time, right? So, but we as Vera support all of these chains, right? So that means any of the app developers that want to build their games or metaverses or NFT apps with our features, as long as they're building on these chains that have NFTs or support NFTs, as possible. But I do recommend developers to build it on a chain that has a lot of NFT activity, because it's like if you're building on a chain that has low market size, like say Binance Smart Chain. We all love it because it's low fees, but actually the amount of transactions of NFTs, for example, is 5 million, right? All-time transactions. So that's very low, right? Compared to say 19 billion of Ethereum or 1 billion in Solana, right? And so that means if you're not, there's not a lot of business, not a lot of developers are attracted to do business on that with that bank, because there's not much money to be made. And so you're going to just have stunted innovation, right? So we advise people to work on a big chain, and as the technology to allow cross-chain these things improve over the next few years, then there will be probably new solutions to have you also synchronize with other chains as well. So that's just my two cents. But we're agnostic and Vera. We will go where the business is. If there's demand on a brand new chain that exceeds Solana, hey, we're going to be there, right? So we want to empower the developers, the founders. That's all what we're about.
I love it. And so we've talked a lot about, you know, virtual, you know, digitalized NFTs that are kind of native to the virtual world. But then there's also real world assets that are kind of getting bridged to the blockchain. Will Vera have any intersection with like tokenized property deeds and, you know, stuff like that?
Actually, absolutely. Vera is use case agnostic, meaning as long as the industry or any business is okay to use an NFT to represent any asset, then we are compatible with that NFT, right? And the example you talked about, the real blocker to making that reality is not even our technology. It is simply the legal and the financial institutions understanding what NFTs are and recognizing it and start using it and making sure it's compliant, right? But, you know, it obviously that's not possible today, but I see it as it is inevitable. Because look, when Ethereum came out, it took literally like 5 years before it became like a 1 billion in TVL. And then the 6 year one shot up to 100 billion. And then banks start like going crazy and thinking, oh my God, it's more disruptive. DeFi is more disruptive than say Bitcoin, right? And even Bitcoin alone, look how many years it take before, you know, JP Morgan and others say, okay, maybe we're going to do our own stable coin. So I think that NFTs will definitely be sooner to be adopted. But right now people are trying to understand what exactly it is. And once, and in fact, we as Vera Labs and my co-founder, we used to build blockchain related projects for banks and like Norton Trust. And we do understand that in that industry, they're very excited yet anxious about DeFi because they know it's just a matter of time where they can disrupt. They don't know when, you know, legal has to catch up, but it's going to happen. And so that's the reason why they were hiring guys like us to look into and build POCs with blockchain, because they want to start innovating in that department as well. So I would say it's just a matter of time for your use case. And I would say it will happen probably outside of the United States first, because we have these draconian security laws and in uncertain guidance on what exactly is security or not. But it's already happening in other countries. You know, there are several projects I know where they're looking into creating digital twins as NFTs of, say, clothing, apparel, right? Imagine I take a smartphone, I scan some designer bag, I scan some designer clothing, and boom, you got an NFT replica of it on the blockchain for that exact piece of clothing. You know, I know guys working on stuff like that. I know guys working on, you know, taking they're looking into real estate titles, like what you're doing, you know, rental cars, luxury goods, Rolex watches, you know, collectible sneakers. You know, I can show you so many use cases of which startup is doing what. And no matter who succeeds or not, if they want a secondary market for these things to be rented out, Vera's here. That's what we're doing.
Wow, Dennis, that's amazing. All this cool stuff going on with Vera. But I got a couple more questions for you. One of them is as far as like the lending and borrow rates on the Vera platform, who sets those? Is it you guys or is it every lender gets to decide themselves? And then the second half of that question is, what does the Vera token do in the ecosystem?
Sure. So in our first version of Vera that's coming out right now, because we just launched mainnet like literally in December, which is really recent. What we're doing is something called peer-to-peer transactions, right? Whether it's rentals or financing. Peer-to-peer is similar to Airbnb. You own the asset, you own the NFT, you can list it on our protocol programmatically or through any marketplace DApp built on top of our protocol, and you set the parameters, meaning you set the price, how much you want collateral, and you know, if you choose not to have collateral, we have an option for that. So you set everything, not us, right? Just like Airbnb. So in same thing with financing, right? So you want to list something for sale and you can specify, hey, I want installments paid. Here's how the duration I allow. Here's how much I want to charge more, you know, for the service, for the financing, all of that. It's called seller financing. So that's version one. In our version two, which we're in development and we'll be launching much later in the year, we will do something called peer to pool. There are other names for it, like peer to smart contract, peer to bundle, but that is more similar to what you guys may understand in DeFi, like Aave, Compound, what these guys are doing. So in this case, imagine all these NFTs are pooled together in one smart contract. So you have a pool of many NFTs. And when you're renting NFTs, you don't have to wait for the other person to basically agree with you and matchmake like Airbnb, right? And you can basically directly rent from this pool at a specified price, right? And one use case of this could be, imagine you want to play a game and I don't want to buy a Lamborghini NFT, nor do I want to rent just one. I want to try out this game. So just like the esports vault example, I have a pool of so many NFTs and I can pay a subscription fee. And for the next 4 to 48 hours, I can pick and choose any item in here and play it and try it out, right? So that's on the user end. On the owner, asset owner's other side, all what you're doing is essentially letting Vera borrow your NFTs in a way you're staking your NFT so it can become part of this pool. And in that case, we will basically have in the future yield opportunities, right? Just like how you can stake your crypto right now, some of these DeFi platforms are going to pay you yield. So we have stuff that will be called NFT yield farming. If this pool has high demand, then hey, we want more assets, more game items from this game. So please let us borrow it. We'll pay you X percent yield. And then on the other hand, you can have these things. So in that case, the supply and demand market really sets the price, just like Aave, just like these guys. We won't have to do peer to peer, right? That's the future. So peer to peer right now, peer to pool later. The same thing will go for financing or mortgages. So imagine in the future, whether it's you or a bank can basically create a liquidity pool. You're going to create this pool of a lot of money. Say, I'm going to put a lot of Ethereum. And this Ethereum, this money can only be used to buy land in Sandbox right next to where Snoop Dogg lives, right? So, hey, the market value is higher there. So I want to only underwrite those kind of loans. So
are there noise complaints in the metaverse?
Well, there may be, you know, hopefully if there is, then that means the value of the land is going to be worth a lot more, right? So, yeah, I mean, that becomes a mortgage product. People can borrow that money and then they go use it to fund their NFT purchase, in this case, land. And so that's the same thing that will happen in the future where it comes peer-to-peer to peer-to-pool, right? And then the second question you were mentioning is, what's the utility of the token, the Vera token? Well, that's an excellent question, right? So in the V1 first version, the utility is much more simple. right? It'll be basically any fees collected in any of these transactions, whether it's rental or financing, right? People who are part of the people that are part of Vera DAO and be part of the DAO, you basically will be staking your tokens to be part of the DAO, will basically get a rev share, right? Or dividends, whatever the network makes as a bank, kind of in a sense, it's shared back to whoever is part of the DAO, which you can be if you hold Vera tokens and stake it. So that's one. How we're planning to scale that is actually initially, our transactions are actually free. We're not charging any fees whatsoever. We're kind of like a Stripe for NFTs. So any apps building marketplaces on top of our protocol, whether it's a metaverse rental Airbnb, it's a Bored Ape Airbnb, it's a financing marketplace, whatever it is, right? The if they charge fees to make money, we're basically going to get a cut of that. And who's part of the DAO basically can get paid. Then second is use case is basically more for the later version of Vera. So when V2 launches, where it's a lot more complex and you have peer to bundle or peer to pool and all these features, the token will play more of a governance role, just exactly like Aave, right? So if you're part of DAO and you have token, you can vote on improvement protocols. You can, for example, be part of deciding which asset or asset class or collection can be serviced with Vera, right? So, you know, or there might be an asset that becomes bad, maybe it's fraudulent, or maybe there's something illegal about it, and the DAO can vote to delist the asset from a protocol. So there's community governance of this protocol on what assets, what NFTs should be on or not be on. The long term of V2, and then we're actually going to be building institutionally compliant versions where we can actually have banks put their money, Web2 basically, traditional finance or banks or Web2 put their money in Web3 through Vera, and these financial or mortgage products that are created, we can make sure that those products are also governed by token holders as well. It's basically what Aave is doing with something like called the ARC Marketplace for institutions. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our vision. It's proven to work with several projects, but we're the first to do it with NFTs. And that's what's exciting, because I think NFTs is where it's at. And I feel that NFTs, the market opportunity, is so much bigger than crypto. Because it actually relates to assets that have existing value and understanding in the real world.
What are some of the, I hear a lot, there's a lot of hate for NFTs, right? You know, from outsiders, there's NFT bears. I don't really know what their main ammunition for their bearish theses are, other than like, you know, it's built on, you know, proof of work blockchains that are,
let me explain this. Hey, I'm very familiar with it because I've been in this space for quite a while. And some of these bears you call are actually my friends. I know exactly, you know, where they're coming from, right? So you got to understand this hate comes on a couple levels, right? First is misunderstanding and just seeing crazy valuations for JPEGs. You people understand, thinking it's just another tulip bat, right? The second is, you know, you got to understand, for the first time in history, you know, the way we know life works is being totally challenged and disrupted, right? I mean, back in the day, Wolf on Wall Street, right? You got to be in the stock market and maybe you retire by 40, right? And then you look a certain way. Well, apparently crypto made a lot of people retire by 30. But for some reason, people with JPEG kings are retiring by 1920 now that we see it. And people just can't fathom that big shift, right, in wealth. So, you know, there's also that factor. So when you have fast wealth in certain people, you're going to have fast haters, right? You're going to have haters too. And then lastly, I would say the main reason is they don't understand this as a technology. They just see what's happening right now. And a lot of them, when they talk to me, they get so much more bullish, right? I mean, there are influencers right now that never even went to college. They may not have done all these things in society, and yet they're like multimillionaires with JPEG. So people understand that. But this is exactly what happened when crypto and ICOs happened in 2017, the last bull run. There's all these people that made money. And then, of course, when the market crashed, a lot of people lost money as well, right? Including many of us, right? I remember my portfolio was like 89% underwater. I was just holding it, right? I don't want to look at it, but right? So the same thing will likely happen. We don't know when, but it will happen. But all of this is the part of the process for a technology to mature, right? What happened after crypto crash? Then it became the rise of DeFi, right? It took 5 years for that to happen. Think about it, 5 years. And now DeFi is such a big thing where even banks are scared about it. But it's such an essential infrastructure, right? It allows people to do mining of coins, which is the infrastructure of all blockchains, with having ability to generate liquidity with their earnings. And they don't have to worry as much as like on-ramp, off-ramp to fiat, right? It allows many apps to have proper efficiencies and how money is being circulated. And it's a lot easier to have DAOs now and DApps be more self-sustainable. So all of these things are not possible 3, 4, 5 years ago if it weren't for these innovations, right? So I would see in NFTs, the same thing's going to happen. And what my message is for these people is, look, it's okay to not understand technology. And yes, there will be a lot of people making it lucky, but there's also a lot of people that will get hurt. Just don't be one of them. But aside from what exactly is hot and being used as NFTs, try to understand the potential of this, right? Because NFT is not an asset. NFT is not a JPEG. It could be anything. It could be, as you mentioned, a deed of a house, a car. It could be a bond, a treasury note. It could be a financial instrument. And what I'm even more bullish on is financial positions. So imagine your stake in, say, Curve, or your stake in financial LP position in Uniswap. That itself is an NFT. And imagine you can go ahead and lend it out to different third-party platforms without needing to unstake and pay the massive gas fees, right?
Right.
These things, I imagine your insurance policy, you can rent it out to people. Like, that's the future. You have efficiency on how things and assets are being transacted. Whereas you saw Bitcoin allows money to be transferred with efficiency and no friction. NFTs will allow things and objects and assets to be transferred with the same exact amount of efficiency. That's the future.
Well, I've never been more bullish on NFTs until listening to you talk. So like many of our listeners listening right now, what's some word of advice you can give to the folks that want to go get their very first NFT? Where do they get started? What should they look for? What are some red flags to avoid?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my opinion, whether or not you get your first NFT, it's not as important as being educated about it, right? And I think, to be frank, there's really not that many great educational tools out there right now when it comes to NFTs. There's definitely no shortage of shillers and promoters of like a million other art projects and avatar projects on every social media, TikTok and Instagram, yeah. Right? And telling you which one should you flip next, just like it was 2017 all over again. Hey, which ICO should I put money in? But what I'll say is, you know, myself, folks like you guys and your show, we're passionate about educating the community, right? With no bullshit and strings attached. And we could care less. We can get any get paid for this because we truly believe this technology is the future. So I would say tune into a show like this, right? There's a lot of good podcasts out there. You know, search YouTube a little bit. I don't know if there's some major content out there. And if there's not, you know, one thing I haven't really told anyone is myself. I will be working on with some partners soon and some collabs, and I'm going to be filming a lot of educational content about everything you want to know about the technology, NFTs, and what it means to everyday people in 120 seconds or less, right? I want to make it. I don't want a 5 minute, 10 minute, 1 hour lecture. I want it to be like 1 minute, 2 minute, boom, I get it. And I will use analogies. How do you have this elevator pitch to educate people? Why am I doing this? And we're happy to collab on this too, is because I have to do it every freaking day. What's Vera? What's this? What's this? Everyone asks about it and I need to explain it. And I think I've been explaining and pitching so much where I fine tune how to properly explain it where people can understand it. Like that. Love to share that channel and content with you once we have it up and going. So I will say these are good first places to get started. And then if you really want to understand what NFTs are available, there are a lot of marketplaces out there like OpenSea and LooksRare where you can like dabble and buy NFTs, but I want you to truly understand that's only what's available today. And the what NFTs, the potential of it, that's not representative of it for what it will be 1, 2, 3, 5 years from now, right? So I would say go in there, take a snapshot, see all these funny JPEGs and things you can buy. Look at why this one's crazy or not. Maybe this one has a much bigger community, right? You can kind of look at it, but don't be closed-minded thinking this is what JPEGs or NFTs is all about, because it isn't. It's just the beginning, right? That's like saying, you know, crypto is just about sending coins to each other like money. No, crypto is so much more now. Now DeFi entered the picture. You know, banks are creating their own stable coins. You know, they're, you know, there's discussions of censorship, you know, like the war and things going on. How, like, what should be censored? Well, like, crypto has created so many innovations in all sectors of humanity. If people actually sat down, think about it, it's immense, right? It has even got people to think about how they should go to the moon in order, literally, physically, in order to farm solar power because of environmental concerns with like Bitcoin mining, right? So it created all these discussions, right? NFT is the ultimate intersection of culture and finance and technology and art and technology, all these things together. So you go to, I would recommend go to meetups, go to the next NFT event, have discussions with people like I did in 2017 when I started in crypto. You'll meet people all over the world. It's like a melting pot of Burning Man with Art Basel, with black suits, and like just everyone, with intellectuals. Like, it is, the NFT is feeling the next cultural renaissance, man. I'm just telling you, like, you don't see this stuff anywhere. Yeah. And I'm in New York right now, right? You see Empire State Building right here. So I'm like, you know, I have a meeting coming up right after this. I'm meeting up with an ETH Denver, which I was just at, you know, Jay-Z, you know, the mogul. He has a team that actually came out to ETH Denver to understand NFTs. And we actually met. And now I'm actually, one reason I'm here in New York is I'm going to meet up with his team after this. They want to get into NFTs.
Wow.
Why is it? Because they want to be like Snoop, these guys, and start making millions? Actually, no. And I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about this, but he actually wants to leverage NFTs for charity to do social reform, right?
That's powerful.
Imagine a future. You have a DAO where there's money being generated. And then the question we ask is, what does NFTs and all this DAOs have to do with that single mom that just got out of jail and need to put their life together? I don't care about an ape, but how does that have to deal with them? Imagine you have a scholarship program. It could be for social reform. It could be for entrepreneurship, like you won this pitch competition. And instead of giving you a grant or a donation, imagine I can rent to you one share of this DAO, an NFT that generates yields. It's a new form of scholarship that basically teaches you the value of asset ownership. And if you gamify it and you basically do what you need to do, you're getting your life together or you're growing your business, guess what? I'm going to airdrop you another NFT. I'm going to increase your yields. Like, and after that duration of the scholarship, that NFT gets returned back to the foundation. Like, these are new ways to talk about changing the world, right? Social entrepreneurship. This is why I'm so truly excited and humbled by what this technology can potentially do. And I look forward to be on this adventure with you guys for next who knows how long, right? Work hard, play hard, make money, learn new things, impact people, change the world. That's what we're all about with NFTs.
Amen. Amen, Dennis. And that's a great way to kind of close things, wrap things up. You know, we love when people bring such passion and enthusiasm to this space, right? You know, sometimes we get folks that are pure technologists and just in it for the tech and don't really have as much passion shine through. Some people are here clearly just for the money and for the opportunity, but you know, it's always refreshing having a guest on like you. Just very clear passion.
My pleasure. And I look forward to do more shows with you guys. If you guys are open to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're definitely going to have you back on, and you know, we'll back channel about collabing on some short form content. I think that could be good, especially for Crypto 101 listeners and everyone.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, and it's been a pleasure being here, and I look forward to work closely with you and your community.
Cheers.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.